8-bit transmission. Playback commencing in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Bit Transmission, a Destructoid podcast on the past, present, and future of gaming, with Colette Bennett, Jonathan Holmes, and Conrad Zimmerman. Episode 14. Our long silence is at an end, just in time for Nintendo to release a new handheld. We'll beg you to donate to Red Cross Japanese relief efforts, and chat a bit about iDevice games that we like. To kick things off, we exchange our feelings on the 3DS.
It's not perfect, but it's pretty close. If from here on out, if I heard every game I wanted was only coming to the 3DS, I probably wouldn't miss it that much. I wouldn't miss the idea of it being on TV that much, I don't think. It's covering a lot of the bases. It's covering most of the bases at this point for me.
The NGP thing and the 3DS, people are saying I can get the console experience in my hand, and I don't understand that compulsion. I don't get why would you want console experiences in your hand? I want console experiences on my couch. Give me things that I wouldn't want to sit and play on my couch, the Take Portable.
My couch is shared with my wife, and if I'm playing a game for more than half hour on the TV and she wants to watch something, I've got to figure out a backup plan. So for me, a portable system just fits into a married man's lifestyle a lot better. But, if it weren't for that, though, I could see where you're coming from. I mean, some things are better absorbed, especially if I had surround sound speakers and crap like that. But since I don't, you know, the portable pretty much works for me for whatever kind of game.
Your pimp hand is weak, Holmes.
I don't have a pimp hand. I have a – what's the opposite of when you're being pimped? I've got a slut wrist, maybe. Yeah, I don't wear the proverbial pants in the family by any means. When my wife wants to watch 30 Rock, it doesn't matter what I'm playing. It's time to change the channel pretty much.
I like to watch 30 Rock. I can't say I blame her.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's a good show. But that's exactly – she was watching 3 hours of that on Netflix. She was catching up. But I had Nintendogs and Street Fighter the whole time, so I was psyched.
Yeah. I don't know. I bought a 3DS, but I don't actually care about having a 3DS yet.
Well, I don't either, which is the reason why I couldn't believe that everyone was exchanging friend codes on Twitter today, and I did not care up to the moment that all of those messages started flying back and forth. Add me, add me, add me. And then I was like, I don't have a 3DS, and I want to be in the cool kid club.
Well, okay, now imagine this, you know, my perspective. I've already paid money for it. It's coming to me on Tuesday. I'm sitting here watching all of these people do this, and then I realize that I'm going to have it right after it stops being cool to do that. Then I'm the kid who got sent home with the ball, you know, and comes back an hour later. Hey, I can play now, and everybody's left the field.
I know that may happen, but I don't think you have to worry about it. Already, people are saying, all right, we triggered our friend codes, now what?
Exactly.
And apparently it doesn't do anything. Yeah, that I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out, actually. I just found out you can trade Miis by whatever they do with BlackBerry and iPhone, you know, that weird digital – it's almost like a white mosaic. You can trade each other's Miis on that.
There's some sort of web portal by which we can exchange Miis or
– Yeah, you can upload the – even saying Miis, doesn't it just feel the coolness of the 3DS just went down by – several points. The word me is just so synonymous with lame at this point.
I don't really think about them. I just don't look at them. I never put myself in a position where I have to see a me. Well, I don't turn my Wii on, and that's usually...
Yeah, that doesn't help.
So I guess it'll be kind of a new experience seeing Miis again, and they seem to really be trying to integrate that more and more with the 3DS than they did with the Wii. They seem to be making a bigger deal out of the value of Miis, whatever that could possibly be.
Well, for me, it's... I've been able to download the ones that are made by people I know, but we're too lazy to exchange friend codes or whatever. So you don't actually have to exchange codes as long as they upload that little mosaic image to the internet. Danny B, the composer of Super Meat Boy, he put his up on Twitter, and you download it by actually taking the 3DS camera and aiming it at your computer monitor, and it somehow reads it off of that, and it generates whatever
Like the AR camera stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's almost like an extension of the AR camera, except it's not a game. It's just a way to scan a barcode from your computer monitor, basically. So, you know, when famous people, when Rebecca Black and Charlie Sheen and when all them, when they put their Miis up there, it'll be a big deal that we can download it without actually trading friend codes with them.
Will that really be a big deal?
It seems like you guys aren't that into the 3DS already. Is that right?
No, I want one. I mean, I don't really know why, though.
I bought one because I was in a position where I could spend $250 on a piece of gaming hardware that I knew someday I was going to either require for work or a game would be released that I gave a shit about.
Right.
You know, one of those two things will eventually happen to me. And so I might as well just buy it now when I have the money. But I didn't buy software for it. None of the launch titles appeal to me. I don't know if it's as bad as the DS launch was, but that was pretty bad. And it took them about a year to get some titles in there that really, you know, started to make me take interest. And even still, I waited till a DS Lite.
Didn't the DS launch have Dawn of Sorrow or one of the Castlevania, the 2D Castlevania games?
I don't believe so. Huh. It had Metroid Prime Hunters, if I'm...
Oh, no, that didn't come out forever. That was demo that came with it.
Oh, the demo came with it. That's right.
And that was, I'm not even sure about the demo, let alone the full game. But I remember playing a hell of a lot of Castlevania just Nintendogs when it first came out. And I'm the kind of person who can like Nintendogs, so...
Well, I thought Nintendogs was sometime after. I didn't think that was like a launch
title. I'm pretty sure that was launch, yeah.
It was close to launch.
I remember it coming out, because I was working in retail in a Circuit City at the time, but I wasn't interested in it. It was sitting there on display, and I sort of futzed around with it a couple of times, said, oh, okay, whatever.
I don't know. I think it'll be better for the 3DS. I already think that the launch is, well, the games aren't awesome, but they're definitely worth playing, at least for me. And the stuff that comes in the 3DS itself is, there's a little RPG in there that you play with Miis that you collect with Street Pass. Yeah.
The Street Pass stuff really does interest me.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. That to me is Japan's answer to XBLA, where they're just not going to care about talking to each other online.
But it also demonstrates something I think about Nintendo and about how they are as a Japan-centric company.
Mm-hmm.
Because something like Street Pass will work fantastic for you if you live in Japan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Living in the United States, if you're not in a major city where there's a lot of density on a frequent, regular basis and carrying your DS to that place, corn farmers in the Midwest have absolutely no fucking use for Street Pass.
Exactly, yeah. You know, Nintendo's still Japanese, and they're not ashamed to be Japanese. If they're going to be true to themselves, they can't try to think differently than they naturally do based on where they live and how they're brought up. So that's one thing I love about it. And the 3DS is so, after having been to Tokyo, Colette, you could probably relate to this. After you've been to Tokyo and you know just the aesthetic and the way the music is playing in every little convenience store and just the minor details that make Tokyo a different city, it feels like I'm in Tokyo when I'm playing.
Really? Why? Like what about it? Like, can you
all
explain?
All the little, everything's got a little theme song, totally worthless theme songs, but they're so well written. There's just such attention to detail and caring about the user experience being, it's soothing, but still high crafted and emotionally involved. Even just the menus and stuff. They cared so much about every little point of the experience with just the 3DS itself. That's how I'm taking it anyway.
I'm sure that that's probably what they were doing. And I'm also fairly certain that you are one of five people who speak English that picked up on that.
Dale said the same thing, actually.
Yeah. There you go. See, that's two.
Yeah.
It is a good point that the user experience really is influenced a lot by those little musical things. And I fully expect that when I open it up, it's going to make me feel happy that I'm using a 3DS.
Dude, the system has just made me so happy already today. Nintendogs has made me so stupidly happy. It doesn't deserve to make me that happy. It's not an incredible piece of software, but it's such a realistic puppy. It's so weird that this is when Nintendo decides to be realistic. With Zelda, they still aren't realistic, Mario, whatever. But with their dog simulator, they really give a shit, finally, about realistic graphics. And that dog looks awesome.
Okay, up
its face, and it's licking you. It's fantastic.
It's Nintendogs and cats, right?
Yeah.
How's the cat?
I haven't got the cat yet. They make you work for it.
Wait a minute.
Wait,
earn the fucking cat?
Yeah, I'm confused about that.
Because I don't want a dog. I've never wanted a dog. Oh. Dogs are a pain in the ass. They're needy and, oh, no thank you. You mean I gotta sit through a fucking dog to get a cat?
Well, I could be doing it wrong. It wouldn't be the first time that I did it wrong. So far, I bought a puppy bulldog and I've played some ball with it and it's pooped. And they actually call it poop. When your dog poops, you make sure to pick it up with your hand. And you got to touch it there and pick it up.
What breeds of dog do you get off the back?
I just went straight for the bulldog. I love those ugly little bastards. To me, the more you can fuse cute and ugly together, the more interesting it is to me. So I just got that dog and was rubbing it. I wish it's a good thing I didn't have to review it today because that's all I really know. I bought the dog and I rubbed the dog. And then I picked up its poop and that's it.
Did you just get Nintendogs or did you get, you know, Pilotwings or Steel Diver?
Oh, I got Nintendogs and Street Fighter 4, which is, to me, so far it's the preferred way to play Street Fighter 4. I know a lot of people are complaining about the controls and they're not perfect. The D-pad is way too far away from the left trigger, so it can make it a little bit awkward at times. But once you get used to it, it just looks better and it's easier to play on the go. It fits my lifestyle at this point because I can't just practice combos in front of a TV screen for 2 hours a day anymore. There's just not time for it. So I'm loving that. But more than anything, I love the stuff that just came with the 3DS, the AR, augmented reality cards, and the 3D pictures and all that crap.
I was thinking that that would probably be enough for me as well.
What's coming out on the horizon that you're looking forward to, though?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Oh,
no, literally, it's a wasteland.
What?
Well, for starters, I haven't been paying all that much attention.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I bought the device knowing that someday I would hear about a game and decide I wanted it. You tell me what's coming out that I should care about.
Well, you like Phoenix Wright, right?
Yeah, it's all right. I like Layton and I like Phoenix Wright, but that's something that I'll probably wind up getting for Katrina for when we go on a trip. I'm not going to get hyped up for that. I think I've played all of them and finished none.
I've played all the Professor Laytons, but I haven't finished any of them. But Phoenix Wright, I play those to the end every time.
I might have finished the first Professor Layton. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was a pretty good one.
It was fun.
Yeah. It's tough because there's secret projects that I'm not supposed to tell anybody about from Super Meat Boy creators and from Gaijin Jirks from Alex Noisy. So they're doing stuff that I'm really excited about. And in general, I'm excited about that kind of landscape that the 3DS has already put out there where you get huge third-party support from Capcom and Konami, and then you get small indie support like Cave Story on the 3DS, and you get those guys on a level playing field at the retail market. In a way that, to me, is more exciting than any of the home consoles have been.
Well, that's fine for Gaijin, who manages to push a fair number of units on WiiWare and things like that. But I did a story the other day about a game that was coming out for WiiWare. Liltline, which Gaijin published on WiiWare in the United States, couldn't get enough sales for Nintendo to pay them.
I saw that. And the Liltline guy has been very vocal about how much he thinks WiiWare sucks.
So I have to wonder if Nintendo is really serious about its 3DS iWare or whatever. 3DS.
Oh, no.
3DSware?
I don't think so. 3DSware, I have no faith in that at all. But I'm talking about actual... Oh, no.
So funny.
They're never going to do demos or do the things that today's modern consumer really prioritizes. And
is it because over there there's just a culture of buying every fucking thing that's in front of you, and so they just assume, well, we're going to put this up there, and then everyone will buy it, and then they do?
I don't know. I think the online market just doesn't really happen in Japan like it does here.
See, hold on a second. I'm sorry. I have to interrupt you.
Please.
They had tons more. Dale had his DSi, and when he showed me all the Japanese DSiware, there's more of them. They're goofier. It seems like Nintendo is seriously pushing online downloads on the 3DS.
Well, here's what blows my mind is you can't tell me that Nintendo hasn't always been interested in online. They had Satellaview over there, and they've never progressed past it.
Which doesn't make any sense either. Why would Nintendo, who's had such tremendous success, why would they have trouble with the online adjustment? I don't understand. You know, the other companies are doing it flawlessly or close to flawlessly. Why is Nintendo struggling?
When they've been doing it longer than any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
I think they're just completely out of touch. They're artists and not software designers, if you know what I mean. Definitely not operating systems designers. They don't get that people care about having to enter in their credit card information every time.
But it blows my mind that background music that's so integral to the user experience is present, but actual capabilities? Yeah, so you mean I bought a piece of art. I bought something pretty I can just look at. That's what you're telling me now. I bought something that doesn't have a function.
Well, it makes you feel good. I turn on the Wii Shop music when I'm stressed out and I need to write a post that's going to suck. Let's just listen to that music. Oh, God, feels good. I'd love it if the Xbox Live marketplace and the PlayStation marketplace had music next time. I can imagine the Xbox music having rap metal.
Wait, rap metal?
That's what I would
say. Jonathan Holmes looks at the 360 as a real bro fist kind of console.
Sure.
Maybe you could beatbox over the store.
That'd be awesome. Oh, man. Bismarckie. I would buy a new 360, whatever the next 360 will be, just for Bismarckie beatboxing in the Xbox Live music marketplace. I would love that. We should talk about Japan soon.
We should probably talk about the fact that they had another earthquake an hour and a half ago.
What?
A 6.5.
Oh. Is this an aftershock of the other earthquake, or is this a new event?
Hold on. Give me a second to get the news back up. Another earthquake off the northeast coast of Japan, a 6.5 magnitude quake, 67 miles east of Sendai, which actually prompted a warning for a tsunami as well.
I have to admit, I've been very emotionally irresponsible about the whole Japan tragedy because I just don't want to think about it.
What does emotionally irresponsible mean?
I feel like I owe it to myself to be a part of my reality enough to feel the appropriate emotions about something that's awful that I care about, but I just haven't wanted to.
Holmes, that's not emotionally irresponsible. Emotionally irresponsible is seeing this event occur and being unable to stop making jokes.
Or saying, if you hadn't been involved in Pearl Harbor, then maybe this would be happening.
The Pearl Harbor thing is absolutely fucking disgusting.
I haven't heard any of this stuff.
In the days following the earthquake, somebody sent this to me. It was a Facebook thing that you can do a search term, and it shows you all of the things on Facebook that are being said involving those terms. And the term was Pearl Harbor. And it was just people all over Facebook saying this is God's way of punishing them for Pearl Harbor. It was absolutely disgusting. Now, I'm the guy who can't stop making the jokes. I mean, I know better than actually say them.
Sure. Well, humor is a coping mechanism, so, you know,
exactly.
I don't blame people when they try to lighten the damage with something of that nature. But to just go ahead and claim responsibility or deny any sort of sympathy is just disgusting. Whoa.
I heard an interesting story on NPR. There were these women, they're Koreans, and they were forced into sexual slavery by the Japanese when they were at war. The Japanese government has never acknowledged that this happened. And these women have been appearing at some governmental building every week, showing up there to protest. And then after the quake, they did a moment of silence. I mean, for God's sake, these are people who have been at violent odds with each other for an incredibly long time, and they can have the compassion to at least acknowledge when their enemy or their rival is suffering. How dare people say things like that this is some sort of retribution?
It's something that would make anyone ill that had a heart. But I think the kind of people saying that are very small-minded people.
I'd hope so. I'd hope that they just didn't think it through and that they can use their whatever brain cells they may have to try to get to something better than that at some point.
People should give money to the Red Cross.
Conrad. That makes me feel better. I should give some money to the Red Cross.
You really should. And the cool thing about giving money to the Red Cross, for instance, in the toy world, just for Tomopop, we've posted probably at least 15 to 20 articles on people selling toys and shirts and all types of things. So if you want to give your money directly, you can do that. Or you can go buy some cool stuff and have all your money given to Japan that way, too. I'm sure there's game-related types of things like that, too.
Capcom put a bunch of their iPhone products on sale for 99 cents, and all proceeds are going to Japan, really. I kind of have an issue with that. A little bit, just a tiny bit.
Because it's a little bit of self-promotion, you think?
It's not just self-promotion. Basically, they're making these sales and they're giving the proceeds, right?
Right.
But when they give the proceeds then to charity, they're going to get to write half of that off for their taxes. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, their sales numbers, that jacks up through the roof, so they get more additional exposure because their product is now a top seller or whatever, mm-hmm. driving additional further sales.
Sure.
It just all feels a little greasy to me. I'd rather give money directly to the Red Cross than some other third party who's going to say, we'll give it to them for you.
Right,
no.
Right.
I understand that. I don't disagree at all. I'm just saying some people, unfortunately, they're not the type of people who, oh, I'm just going to give my money directly to the Red Cross, which sounds stupid. But, oh, well, I can give $60 and get this cool toy or whatever. And I mean, it's always possible that the proceeds could not really go.
We did a charity live stream for Danny B. His sister has multiple sclerosis, I believe it is. We just kind of impromptu did a live stream thing for her and for multiple sclerosis to try to raise money on the Detoid live show. And we had a goal, I can't remember how much it was for, $5,000 or something. And we just weren't going to make it. And the creator of Super Meat Boy said, if we meet our goal within the next hour, I'll announce a new character for Super Meat Boy. And then someone donated $800 or $1,000. There are these rich snipers out there with hundreds of dollars just lying around. And if you give them the right motivation, they'll suddenly just give you tons of money.
Well, I don't mind giving someone an inducement to donate. The example that you cite is a perfect one as to how that sort of an inducement can be used to a change that is considerable. He's not purchasing a product.
No, it's just being a part of what we're doing and making someone tell you something. People have paid Carly Simon at auctions to whisper who she's talking about, and you're so vain. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. There are a lot of people thought it was Warren Beatty that she was talking about. That's a popular answer.
I think someone donated $10,000 to something once, and she whispered it in their ear, and it was like, if you ever tell anyone, I'll kill you. And they never told. But yeah, I'd like to do something like that. I've been trying to think of what we as Destructoid could do feasibly, what we can organize and how we can collect money. Just the collecting the money part is really hard. I wonder
how much money I would pay to know what Carly Simon's doing.
You're still thinking about that.
Sorry, I've always wondered. I really have.
The thing is, even if you knew, she could just say, oh no, that's not who it was about.
That's fine. I would never tell anyone anyway. I just want to know. And then when she's dead, everyone who she's done this with, we can all compare. And they'll all be different, and it won't matter.
Yeah, then no one will know or claim to know. Maybe the people listening to this can tell me how to raise money for Japan in an organized, efficient, non-gonna-get-ripped-off manner. Because if we could just do a live stream like we did for Charity Water and for multiple sclerosis, I'd be happy to do that. I just don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. There has to be a way, because we did the 24-hour gaming charity or whatever.
The Extra Life one, too. Yeah.
So I'm sure there'd be something.
That'd be something Carnage and Pico are probably the best people to arrange that, because there's a bunch of people in San Francisco that can all get together. We could get a bunch of our decoy crew in one place.
I'm going to try to make it happen.
Up. I looked at the launch line. I don't want any of that. Not going to buy it. And it's so funny because I never buy consoles, no matter what they are. I never buy them on launch day. I'm not a launch day adapter. But for some reason, I guess today, I was like, I want one. Even so, a couple of friends of mine were like, well, you could get it and not have anything to play on it. You know all those people that are adding each other. What are they going to play together? I don't know. Something.
No, not unless you like Street Fighter right now. It's kind of dead. I probably wouldn't have pre-ordered one, honestly, if it weren't for the fact that when I wanted a Wii, and I wanted a PS3 too, but I just gave up on that line after the first month. But I didn't want to have to wait in line for a 3DS, and I know it's inevitable that I'm getting one, so I just pre-ordered it. I don't think you made the wrong move, Conrad, on putting it till Tuesday.
I'm not the sort of person who buys on launch day either, because I want software. I really don't know why I bought a 3DS other than I had the money.
I don't think you'll be that sad about it. I think you'll
No, well, I'm fairly confident that Nintendo has the handheld thing down. And I've held the hardware in my hand. It looks like a DS Lite, more or less. It's a little thicker, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So the hardware looks sturdy. It looks sleek. It's attractive. I'm not going to care about a hardware revision at this point.
Mm-hmm.
If they just make it smaller and thinner, that whatever. I need you to convince me that I made a good choice in a year if there's nothing on the horizon coming, and I don't think that's going to be the case.
Well, I'm wondering what you guys would want to play on the 3DS. What would make Colette really excited about the 3DS all of a sudden?
What would make me really excited about a 3DS? A cat office game. That was really make me excited. All my games would be stuff like that because I like all that weird stuff. Oh, you know what else I would buy a 3DS for? If someone decided to come out with what's that wonderful game that Level 5 was doing with Studio Ghibli doing the art?
Oh, Ni No Kuni?
Yeah, and that was supposed to come out for the PS3 too.
The PS3
right?
version looked amazing. Well, I lost my PS3. Did you guys know I got robbed?
Yes.
Yeah,
they stole my PS3. Totally sad. But I'll buy another one the day that Ni No Kuni comes out here because that totally sold me on the PS3 again. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, because I think the DS version is supposed to come out this year, and then they don't know when the PS3 version is going to come out. But actually, before just this second, when I pulled up the Wikipedia page, I actually didn't know that they had confirmed it for a North American release date. So can you hold on a second while I dance?
The PS3 one has a North American release date?
I've been campaigning for that game to get a localization for like the only thing I campaigned harder for was Catherine. Other than that, man. I just forgot about it. And then just in the conversation, I look. Oh, my God!
Honestly, it's not a game. It's just a interactive Studio Ghibli movie, but that's fine.
Who cares?
Yeah, totally. Sign me up. That's fine. That's actually kind of likely that they would make a sequel to Ni No Kuni or another Ni No Kuni game that it would be on the 3DS because Level 5 is supporting the 3DS pretty much 100%. They've got the Professor Layton game and the Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright game. And then that other game that looks kind of like the girl who leapt through time. Time Travelers, it's called.
Okay. Now we're getting into the territory of things that I would really want to play. So I think for me, 3DS is going to be a thing I'm going to want now, but I'm going to wait.
Would you buy a new all-original made by Ken Levine, BioShock, on the 3DS?
In a moment.
You would? You'd be okay with that on a small screen?
I would try it. I trust Levine's vision enough for that.
Yeah. I'd want to know more.
You'd want to know more than just Ken Levine and 3DS?
Are we looking at FPS? I don't know if I'm interested in playing an FPS on a handheld. I'm not frequently interested in playing FPSs on a television. So.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not either. This game that you linked me to, the Time Travelers game from Level 5, if that came out here, I would buy a 3DS immediately to play that.
I want Time Traveler, Sega one, the arcade Sega.
Is that different?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's totally different,
but the same in that I want them both really bad for different reasons.
Wait, Time Traveler by Sega?
Yeah, it was like a Dragon's Lair sort of thing, but it was a 3D holographic projector.
It's perfect for the 3D.
It was basically just some monitors and some mirrors that made it look like the image was popping up out of the bottom of the console. It was pretty clever.
You play as a time-traveling cowboy, but you don't really play as him. You just watch him talk to ladies. And
give him commands. It's like Dragon's Lair.
Right. There's crystals. There's a mountain. I think there's a caveman. It's almost unplayable. I don't think humans can.
Yeah.
So Colette would be down for BioShock. Conrad would need to know more about it. What if Team Silent? It's Team Silent, right? That's the Silent Hill people?
Mm-hmm.
If they reunited. That's a stupid question. Of course you'd be down
for
that, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would. It could be an FMV game, a hovering arcade cabinet in the middle of space, and I'd be like, how much are tickets to go? Oh, they're $10,000? I'll go. Okay.
Them I trust to make the right decisions to utilize the hardware in an effective manner. I would buy what they're selling.
It's never going to happen, I guess, but if it did, yeah.
That's also another reason why I say I definitely would buy it, because it would never happen.
So you never have to, actually. Well, they're making a Persona game for the 3DS, right?
I will buy the 3DS. If I haven't bought it by then, I'll buy it when that comes out. You know, there's non-negotiables for some gamers where they love a certain series or whatever so much that they're going to buy a console. And actually, you know, it's funny. I was thinking to myself today, maybe I could trade my Wii in, which, of course, was a gift from Jonathan Holmes, which is kind of messed up, and I could go get a 3DS. I hardly ever play it, And then I remembered, oh my god, no, I can't, because the next installment in the Rhythm Tengoku series is coming out.
Oh, that's right. That's
so
right.
I will keep the Wii for that one game. I'm serious.
Even I, who have said that the Wii is his favorite console, the Wii is not going to do too well this year. This is not the Wii's year. There's Rhythm Tengoku, and third parties have completely abandoned it, and even Nintendo only has Zelda and Rhythm Tengoku coming out. But I'm keeping it just for Rhythm Tengoku, just like you. But Conrad, I'm trying to wrap my head around, you have this way of being ambivalent that I really think is magic. I don't know anyone who can so really have a lack of stance or feeling on something the way you do. I want to get into you and get that one feeling out of you about what would really psych you up for a 3DS.
I'm looking at the list of 3DS titles that are on Wikipedia.
Yeah. Nothing?
Yeah. Well, no, it's not that there aren't things that I'm going to buy this.
Okay, wait, I'm going to look that up now.
Just in Fantasyland, what game would you want for the 3DS?
Well, for starters here, I mean, we have a BlazBlue game. I will probably wind up buying that when that comes out.
Yeah, I'll get that.
But it's coming to PSP as well, so you don't really need a 3DS for that. Continuum Shift 2, is that right?
Yeah, but I'm not interested in playing on that, whatever that freaking, no.
The PSPs.
No, I like my PSP, that's all well and good, but I'm probably not interested in, no. There's a Contra game coming.
I wonder from who? That can really go wrong.
It can. It could go very wrong.
If they get Way Forward to do it again. I really liked Contra 4.
Okay, I'm now looking at the list. I will totally play Buffs the Movie Universe. I will totally play Cave Story. I will totally play Chocobo Racing 3D, obviously. Dragon Quest is working title. I would play that. I guess they have some sort of Final Fantasy going on there. I don't know what that's all about.
At this point, the Final Fantasy name could mean anything.
There's a Kororimpa game coming.
Yeah,
to
that
the 3DS.
I'm interested in.
I would play that.
Kororimpa. Kid Icarus, I don't know what the fuck they're doing. Like, as soon as I know what the fuck it is they're doing, I'll get excited about Kid Icarus.
It's a third-person shooter, basically, with some flying elements.
Oh, man. They're doing Love Plus in 3D? Oh, my God.
When I was playing Nintendogs. When I was playing Nintendogs today, I just immediately thought, Nintendogs will make money. But Love Plus 3DS will make huge money. It's going to be the same, just rubbing and playing.
That game will never come here.
Really? Why? Yeah. They're so scared of it.
It's not porno or anything.
No.
Don't you kiss the girls? Isn't that all you can really do with them?
Do you go even that far? I thought you just...
Yeah, it's probably not even that far, but that's
you just
the thing.
Think them and look at them.
I don't think
it's... Yeah, it just doesn't... I think that dating sims work when they're blended into a game, like the way Persona blended it in 3 and 4, but just an outright dating sim, I don't know why, but it seems like they're afraid to bring those...
I don't know how well it'll play. Historically, dating sims have been made available in the United States by small translation firms with small audiences on PC. And it's a really niche market. I don't know that we can have an expectation that Konami's going to want to try and take that risk in localizing what is really a lot of communication.
There's a lot of translation. That's true. I hadn't thought of it that way. I live in a bubble a lot. So I talk to you and a lot of people at Japanator. And all of them obviously want it, so I just assumed they'd bring it here. But now that you're talking logic talk, Conrad, I realize it probably won't. But dudes love Dragon Age romance and Mass Effect romance if they like embed it in another game.
Well, yeah, exactly. If you make a relationship growth thing part of the experience, not the sum total of the experience,
right.
As deep and fascinating as forging a relationship with a digital person or even a real person, I mean, if you have to. I don't know that you really do want to gameplay that because
they'll
you
do it
can't.
With dogs. Nintendogs sold like crazy here. I think it's all a matter of somehow making people feel like they're not creepers for buying it. A dude will fall in love with a character in Mass Effect and feel okay because on the surface it's a sword and sorcery, badass, tough guy game. If a game is just only rubbing a dog or a girl, dudes feel like creepers, I think.
You know what I love about doing this podcast with you guys? We have so many hardcore quotables every time we record. It's like when we're done, what did you just say? Dudes feel like creepers if they have to rub a dog or a girl? What is that?
It's true. I know so many closet Nintendogs fans that in public, that game sucks. Well, and then I see, hey, what you got over there? Oh, you playing with that dog later? Oh, Turns out you're not as tough as I thought. Yeah. I want to have a pet dog or a cute girlfriend, right? It's not that creepy. But...
Yeah, I don't think it's creepy. I shamelessly played Princess Debut, which was a DS game for little girls, in which it was a combination of a rhythm dance game, like a ballroom dancing game, and a dating sim, and I loved it. And actually, I've had hardcore discussions about this game with Lee Alexander. Because she played it too, and we were both so into the game. It's totally for kids, but the whole dating sim rhythm mashup was totally appealing to both of us, and we loved it. And I know guys that have played it too and that also really like it.
I played it once. I can't find it anymore. That game went off the market fast.
I love it. It's so good. I've played it. I've gotten every guy. I've played it that many times. I've dated everybody.
Ah, you're making me jealous. If you ever see it, let me know. Totally pick it up. I'll pay you back with interest.
I've seen it on eBay a couple of times.
Okay, I'll keep my eyes
peeled. But if I ever see it, I will totally get it.
Any rhythm game that can package it in a different way, I tend to get pretty excited about. And I think any attempt to replicate human relationships in a game is fun.
Yeah, me too. You know, it's kind of embarrassing, the games that you end up really bonding with. Earth Defense Force is a perfect example. I finished that game as completely as you can finish that game.
I have an Earth Defense Force fly swatter to send you.
Really?
I forgot about that. Yeah, yeah, they gave me one at PAX East. They're very nice.
I would like to have that.
I'll send it out. As soon as I move, everything's kind of in disarray right now, but as soon as that's done. I did want to ask you guys what you think of the arguments that the 3DS is doomed because of iDevices taking up that space at this point.
I don't think Nintendo's doomed with anything that they do. I think that their clout is too major. I mean, when I saw the price tag for the 3DS, $250 for a Nintendo product, really? And then I looked at it, and clearly it had no trouble selling.
Do people buy iDevices just to play games?
I almost did, but no. I've never met someone who has.
Why does someone buy a piece of Nintendo hardware?
Games, yeah.
That's it. That's it. No, seriously. And I don't care who you are. Nintendo has a game or will have a game at some point that will make you want this device. Whether it comes from Square or Atlas imports some ridiculous thing that gets all of their fanboys out there to buy it, or Mario comes out and then game over, man. I mean, yeah, Nintendo will push the device, and they're smart enough in the handheld market to know what to do to get their console where it needs to be. And if they're releasing 3 months in advance of announcing a major title to get the early adopters, the people who are going to buy every Nintendo product anyway, so that they can then rebuild supply to coincide with some big game announcement and push out a ton more hardware, that's what's going to happen. They know what they're doing. I have absolute confidence in their ability to be profitable and create a successful product.
I really think the markets are different too. I think that the comparison to iDevice to 3DS is almost like comparing the 360 to the 3DS. I mean, it's just two different purposes.
Yeah.
I mean, I was waiting. Really, people were playing tons of Angry Birds in the line for Sucker Punch, but they weren't having the time of their lives. That game actually really, I think I figured that game out in the line for Sucker Punch. That game makes people feel like an angry bird. That game really pisses people off. They were getting enraged.
That game makes that people game. Feel like an angry bird.
Yeah, it's actually...
You said that.
I think it's true, because I don't understand the fascination with it. To me, Angry Birds is just...
No, I'm the exact same way. It's
not awful.
Why does everyone care about this?
Yeah, I think it's because it really makes them feel like an angry flying animal. Because they get so pissed.
Have you read Jane McGonigal's book, Reality is Broken?
I have not read the whole thing. I'd like to, though.
You should read it, because there's been research on this. The thing that you saw was that people were getting angry about this game, right?
Yeah, real angry. But feeling like it's okay, because, oh, it's called Angry Birds. Of course I'm angry.
They kept playing.
Yeah. They didn't give up.
Yeah, we don't. There's the appeal of success. That's why. It's because the game is frustrating. It's because it looks like something that should be simple and isn't. All great puzzles do that. Thank you.
which is something that I don't normally do, but I'm actually freelancing for Games Radar, and I have been for a little while.
Right on.
Yeah, and it's been really fun. And I, at first I was iPhone games, I don't know if I want to do that. Well, I've had so much fun playing iPhone games lately. There's some really high class, excellent stuff on the store. And I don't know if either one of you are iPhone or iPad users or whatever.
I'm getting more and more desperate to get one at this point though.
For you guys, and also for the listeners, I just wanted to quickly throw the names of a few games out there that really impressed. People are doing killer stuff out there. I played one just recently for review called Rhythm Spirit that I absolutely loved, and you can actually go.
Rhythm Spirit is amazing.
Dude.
I love that game so much.
So, Holmes, think Rhythm Tengoku, less weird, and with more of like an Asian kind of feel to it. Basically, you're a ninja on a quest. It's a 10-level game. You can play it in multiple difficulties. It's trophy and leaderboard compliant. And it's this really beautiful, just lovely looking kind of, I guess it was hand-drawn. I would assume so from the way it looks. Every level, you do the Taiko Drum Master matching where the little circles fly across your screen and you're pressing them kind of timed to the touch of, you know.
Oh,
like
sure.
You know what I mean? But the music also goes along with the beats that you're trying to match, you know?
Yeah.
This game is amazing. The first level, you're running from ninjas. Every time you hit a beat, you're throwing stars at them and evading them and whatever. Then you fight this crazy-ass geisha-turned-oni monster. Then there's a level where you meet this great god, and he wants you to prove that you have excellent flute skills. So in this level, you're matching to play your flute to him and put him to sleep. And he has a sleep gauge,
bar. Sure.
At the top of the screen, and you basically are filling his sleep bar. I was blown away. By the way, this game cost 99 cents. Okay.
Yeah. It was very, very good.
It's not new. Basically, what they do is they have an iPhone game of the day thing, but they basically have us talk about whatever cool iPhone game is around. So it's not necessarily all brand new games, but yeah, they called it a rhythm fighting game. I think it was $1.99 at first, and now they've reduced the price, but I wanted to plug it. I can't believe that games this good are floating around on the iPhone. I'm thinking, oh, it's puzzles. You know, I mean, it is, but that stuff's out there too, but it really, really stuck out to me. Number one. Number two, if it had been longer and more developed, I would have easily paid $30 for it as a DS game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully that'll happen.
Look at the video if you have a chance. I think you of all people, the fact that you are also a Rhythm Tengoku fan. Another one that I played that really, really impressed me was actually a strategy RPG called The War of Ustrath. It's about, I think, a $5 or $6 game, but it totally reminded me of kind of a more anime looking version of, oh gosh, what's that PS3 strategy game that got such great accolades? It's very similar.
Valkyria Chronicles?
Yes, it reminded me of that, but obviously it's a iPhone game, so it doesn't have the same moving, you know, there's a lot more of drawings and illustrated pictures of the characters. Great story. One of the best stories I've played in a really long time. Really fun strategy levels and stuff. Just really natural interaction between the characters. And I thought to myself, my God, maybe I'm not really a big fan of the current super 3D games that look like movies, you know?
Sure.
And I'm now realizing, thanks to this work that I've been doing for Games Radar, that a lot of these games that I'm looking for are on my phone.
That kind of speaks to what I was saying earlier about how I'm sad that pixel-based games might be taking off from the DS market and that indies are going to be moving away from them. But on the phone, they're totally thriving. Like Sword and Sorcery. Have you played that yet, Colette?
No, everyone's been talking about it.
I totally fell in love with it. Yeah, I only played it for 20 minutes, but it was completely what I want in a video game right now.
Okay, I don't know if I'd go that far.
Well, you played more of it than me. The first 20 minutes were pretty awesome.
The first 20 minutes are pretty awesome, but it's basically what it is. It's a point-and-click adventure game on an iPad. And so you
iPhone
double tap.
iPhone 2 or just iPad?
It's coming to the iPhone eventually, but right now it's just iPad, yeah.
God, I don't know if I'd want to play it on an iPhone
screen. I didn't think so either. It was too small.
That's one of the things that bugs me about the game is the zoom.
Yeah.
Because it zooms in real tight on you, and I like to be able to see everything, and it gives you the option to zoom out, which is great.
Yeah.
But anytime you click on something, it zooms in to look at it, and then I have to zoom the fucking thing back out again.
Oh,
it drives me absolutely nuts. But that's just a personal gripe. It's not really anything. My bigger problem is that the pacing is really, really slow.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
I wish the character moved faster. Like, I get it. Okay. I'm walking through this forest, la, la, la. And for the first 20 minutes of him walking, you know.
It's actually
around,
a woman.
Woman? Is it really? Okay.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
They didn't make that all that clear.
No, they weren't about clarity with that game. But I like that. And the combat's pretty awesome, right?
There's some neat things to it. Basically, you have your sword, and to draw your sword, you turn the iPad so that it's vertical. And it switches the whole game up. It zooms in on you real close, and there's an enemy in front of you. Then he says, fight, and...
It's sort of like Punch-Out at that point.
Yeah, it's kind of like Punch-Out. Enemies move in, and you can block with one button and then strike with the sword and beat on them until they die. Or, well, actually, they don't. Nothing seems to die in... Cause
yeah, it just kind of leaves.
I get them down to one hit and they leave. This has happened several times. It's really goddamn entertaining. It's funny. I hate the fact that I'm laughing at internet jokes being in my... Because it seems so lame.
Why?
Well,
a good joke is a good joke, though.
Yeah, but our culture is pretty uncultured.
Only if we think of it that way. We can elevate our uncultured culture to a nice level if we want to, can't we?
But it is quite funny. Sword and Sorcery is really, it makes me giggle.
And well, I mean, a lot of voice acting in it, right?
I was going to say, it's hard to tell from what I'm
what
looking at.
What voice acting?
Actually, I'm looking at it, and it reminds me of Loom and games in that time period. There's something about it. The minute I look at it, I'm like, oh, I want to play it.
It's not capturing my emotion the way Loom, the example you give, I was riveted by it. I'm not riveted by this.
Right.
But the music, oh my god. They suggest you put headphones on to play the game.
Yeah.
And, oh, holy shit, yes, put headphones on.
Yeah.
Because that music that they have made for this game is so good that I will play the game just to hear more of it.
Well, that's why it's called Sword and Sorcery EP, because it was actually intended just to be kind of music first and the game second.
I wish it would play the game for me and allow me to enjoy the music. But it is, it's a very musical game. Everything that you touch or look at or interact with makes its own little sound. And so you do, to some degree, can contribute your own little freestyling into the game's proceedings and into that sort of rich sonic background that it provides. It really lovely music.
Sounds worth playing at the very least, even if you're not going to. I was going to try to make an iPhone game. I think that's a good idea.
Why not?
You know what? Your iPhone game could be about anything. I would buy it. You could be
nice.
I made an iPhone game about going to the grocery, and I'd be like, I'd buy that. Because I want to see what Jonathan Holmes' game about going to Walmart is like. I would buy that.
Maybe that's a better idea than the idea I had. I'm a little worried about it now, though. I've been planning it for a couple of weeks, and I was going to pitch it to a couple of the iPhone developers I know. But it was going to be kind of like Rhythm Spirit, which you already described, except not with ninjas. There's going to be more romance-based, which is kind of like Prince's debut, too. Jesus.
Or like Runner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it would be kind of like Runner, too, actually. Not looking too original.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you say it'll be like Prince's debut, but also like Runner?
Yeah, like Rhythm, Spirit, and Runner.
This is the reason why I would buy anything that you would make.
I don't know. I was thinking there's not enough games on anything that simulate playing the bass guitar. So that's how you'd have to do the rhythm with your two fingers, like bass guitar. And you're running and having to play along but dodge obstacles to the music. That's the first level, and then the second level, it turns into a fully voice-acted romance song that I would sing.
That concludes Bit Transmission Episode 14. For more about the show and to subscribe to the podcast, visit bittransmission.com. Bit Transmission is produced for Destructoid.com by Conrad Zimmerman and Kerry Cabuccio. Next episode, Holmes' Nintendog meets an unfortunate end, and we all learn a lesson about friendship. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.